jobs in tech. Welcome to the show. What's going on in the house, Brad? What's happening in this crazy world that we live in? Holy crap, it's been a while.
It has been a while. I don't know about you, but yeah, we've been staying fairly busy trying to keep things moving and going
stuff.
and doing lots of stuff, right?
All kinds of stuff.
Well, I'm excited for today though, because I mean, we actually have some guests that are joining us today. So
awesome.
We actually have Dimitro and Joe from GoTo. The way it's going to work is I'm just going to hand it over to them and let them kind of tell us a little bit about themselves and what it is they do at GoTo, and then we can just kind of dive in from there.
Hello. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Bobby. Thank you, Brad, for having us. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely.
So my name is Mitra. I'm head of technologies here in the GovTo.
That's awesome.
And then thanks for having us. I'm Joe Dorsey, Chief Product Officer here at GoTo. So oversee all things product management and design related for our technology teams.
Awesome.
Can you tell us a little bit about like how you got involved?
That tell kind us of your situation? Start. Tell us how you kind of got started in the
actually,
industry.
They're two really good and very different starts, actually. That's a really good question.
So Joe,
sure you go first. Yours is cooler.
Yeah, I've heard yours, Joe. Yeah. So yeah, I love it. And I want others to hear it as well.
Yeah, definitely. So I got started with GoTo in 2020, just at the beginning of the new decade. And overall, the company got started in 2019, 2018. So I ended up being the second employee of the company. So I joined the company way overseas. I'm Ukrainian, so I joined it from Kyiv and was working with the team for the full time back from Kyiv. And we had this relationship for 2 years, and at one point in time, we decided it's going to be way more beneficial for all of us to sit down in one room, and I end up in Miami. So since then, I'm here, and we're working together with Joe and with all of the team, with our founders to build our tech, to build our technology.
I love it.
That's my short story. Mm.
2020.
Yeah, wait,
so before you came in 2020, what month?
January 2020.
Okay, wow. So it started. Okay.
I signed an offer letter on December 31st of 2019.
Nice.
Start new decade. Yeah.
Absolutely. New decade, new change, new you,
new world.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. The world definitely got changed in 2020. Yeah,
just a little bit. You know, nothing big.
Yeah. Awesome. I love it.
Cool.
So Joe, tell us a little bit about you. How'd you get
here? Mine, so it's actually, I'm from Miami originally, so very happy living in Miami with a tech company. So my background's in consulting. I've operated product, but actually I found GoTo. I worked in venture capital before, and actually we invested. We were a lead investor in GoTo's pre-seed and seed rounds, and I just got really close to the company, really believe in the mission, the vision, kind of what we're building here. And I came on full time in October of 2023, but I'd been effectively leading the product team since January of 2023. And then before that, I helped out with all things on kind of just financing, kind of corporate strategy, all that stuff through my venture capital role. So I made the hop from investor to operator because I believe in this company so much, honestly, and I just love what we're doing.
Awesome.
That is awesome.
I love it. So could really quick before we get into it, could you guys give us a little bit of a lowdown on what GoTo is, kind of what is GoTo so we can kind of go from there?
Yeah, I can take that one. So GoTo is a digital staffing marketplace that's focused on the dental industry. So the biggest pain point across all of dental is staffing, right? There's people leaving the workforce, the number coming in isn't the same. And then especially with COVID, right, the kind of appetite for flexible work scheduling really came and took this by storm. Like we saw that in nursing dramatically during the pandemic. It's cascaded to other of these healthcare verticals too. So we built a platform that really solves that and makes it as easy as possible, right? So our platform is as simple as like dental offices have a need, whether it be a temporary staff member coming for a day, a week, couple weeks, whatever that is. They need a full-time hire. They want to do a temp to hire process and try out a bunch of people, bring them in, and they convert one to full-time. We've built a really simple app that lets them post these openings, and then it goes out to a network of verified professionals that we have on our side who can then apply to these jobs, work these jobs, make the conversion full time. And it's really interesting. So like you think about like how was this done before? Like it didn't exist really. So these office managers in dental offices, they would spend hours a week combing through like LinkedIn, Facebook groups, like Craigslist, like you name it, just to try and find someone to fill like a single opening on a Monday so they could see their patients and take care of them, right? So we've just tried to make it as easy possible to kind of, in this staffing shortage, get those needs solved quickly with very high quality professionals.
Oh, I gotta ask, who was the person that said, hey, this is a niche, this is a need that needs to be filled? Who came up with that?
That's our founder's team. So I've got to mention our founders are, and right now they are our co-CEO, Secure Game and Edward Thomas. So this is, we work closely since 2020 and all of the time. So, and the original idea, so it's, I'm going to be telling their stories, but the close friend of them is a dental hygienist who is actually so experienced at this issue for the first hand, like having the staffing shortage challenge. Taking care of the schedule of the patient and so on and so on. And yeah, it's got the original deal was it's got to be a better solution. It's got to be a better solution because of such a big need, and it got to be a better way to manage that. So this is how original came from 2018, and the product kicked out. Like starting development has started in 2018. The first initial version of the product was released about autumn 2019. So the first, our first shift was worked on October 17 of 2019.
Cool.
So and since then, it's started and keep going only up and up.
That's cool.
I love it. We love hearing that kind of stuff. That's
so
super cool.
Yeah, I mean, without getting too into the weeds, how do you feel that your guys' technology is becoming a disruptor in the industry?
Yeah, so I think like it's kind of almost what I touched on there in terms of just like totally flipping this process on its head, right? So like if you think about like what drives a dental office, right, it's seeing patients, right? That's
absolutely
what generates revenue for them, right? So if someone goes out on leave and it's an office and there's one chair, one hygienist, that person's out for 2 weeks, they can't see their clients. The dentist leaves, they can't see their clients, right? Like if someone calls in sick, they can't see their clients. So all these patients, they have to push them back and reschedule them, right? So that's lost revenue for that day. But then think about like dentist, right? Like you go every 6 months and you make that appointment before you leave the door. So you've had this on your calendar for 6 months. So there's nothing worse than like, oh, I took the day off work. I carved out time to be here at 2 p.m. on Tuesday. And oh, wait, I got a call Monday the day before, 5 months and 29 days later, but oh, I have to reschedule for next week, right? So with what they see is like, not only is canceling the patients bad, if that happens, you lose the trust and they're going to go find another dental office. So being able to basically facilitate these needs where that situation just doesn't happen anymore. And then not only that, like it's not a super labor intensive effort to find people to come in and do it. It's literally as easy as like logging on a platform, clicking three buttons. And in this like professional starved industry where staffing shortages are like the biggest issue being faced, like on this platform, you can log in, take 3 seconds, post a shift, and you've five candidates within 30 seconds who can be there tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. and see your patients. It has just totally flipped that problem into like, there's a solution for this now. And it doesn't take me spending 20 hours a week of building this like list of 100 people I manage in a Rolodex who I have to call and touch on and text them all at 11 p.m. the night before. It's just a much more seamless process. It's easy, it's friendly, and you know the people showing up with a smile and they're going to treat your patients well.
Awesome.
So exactly. I think it's just a great plug for a great problem, honestly. It's a lot of fun building.
Sounds
it.
That way.
It's interesting. Exactly. I would have never
I never would have thought.
Just show up to the dentist and I don't think about that that's hard to do, but it makes sense.
Oh, totally. It does.
We have very aggressive mission of changing the way the world works. And like I'm a big believer of that, and I'm a big believer of that is 9 to 5 is not natural. Like I started working remotely back when 2014, where the remote work was absolutely not the mainstream, you know? So like I really fell in love with that from the first day. And like back in then was the stigma that it's not the way how it must be. Like there is a better way. But in 2020, we all got convinced that it's actually possible and very doable. And we can, and you know, like the flexibility of working whenever you want, for what rate you want, for what time you want and where you want is very intriguing, very interesting. And like, I'm so proud, and we're also proud to share that experience and to deliver that mission, deliver that experience for the developer professional in the United States.
So and this, like, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. That's it.
This is interesting. I'm just really curious how this. I'm still trying to wrap my head around how this works. So are you saying that, like, if I'm a dentist, I, like, don't have to have employees and they just come from the software? Or is this just, like, if I need it? Or how does that work?
It totally depends, right? Yeah, so, like, most offices will still have the full-time employees, right? I think if you look at industry, like, it's, like, 95% of folks have a full-time job. A lot of these jobs are 3 or 4 days a week, right? They're not working 5 days normal office hours. If they want to open another column, have another day open, work a weekend, like, they'll use this. And because of that, like, the offices want to have the other days open to see their patients, you know, that backlog, kind of get them seen. The professionals are sitting there 3 or 4 days a week. They're like, oh, I have my full-time job, and it's just Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Like, wow, I'd love to make kind of put my
some
skills
extra cash,
right?
Or, yeah, this
license. So I want to go out there and kind of see what else I can do.
So, question I have, Joe, you mentioned this a little bit earlier, but do you guys place, like, dentist as well, or is it just more like the hygienist and things like that?
So we launched with hygienist. We started staffing dental assistants about a year and a half ago, and we're actually just now launching dentists. So they're live in four states now. Sorry, we turn another state this week, and we'll probably have the nationwide role of dentist probably by May 1st. So we're expanding.
That is awesome. That's way cool. And you're right. I mean, it's a niche industry where you do have this problem with you know, the need for people to be there, and this is a great way to solve it.
It's interesting too, because, like, if you think about, like, just not anyone can do these roles, and that's where, like, our software comes with the right people, right? Like, the education, the certifications, the continuing education courses, everything you have to do. And it's funny because you think about dental, like, you just go get your teeth cleaned, but, like, if this procedure comes up, there's so many specialties in different areas of dentistry, right, that go in. So being able to kind of capture that and taxonomize them accurately, like, find the right person for the right shift based on the patients they're seeing that day, it's, like, near impossible without something, right, of this magnitude.
Which makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so with that said, I'm curious. So how would you say that your technology itself is innovative? Like, the technology, what's innovative about the technology itself?
You want to take this to Dimitro or me too?
I figured it would be more of a question for Dimitro. Yeah. So,
Absolutely. So it's very simple. We wanted to provide for our customers, for our users, opportunity to get the job whenever they want and do what way they want. And, like, I'm coming from mobile development. I'm a big fan of that. And, like, the biggest thing that I'm proud here is we have a phrase here: idiotic proof the mobile application that people can use to get it very, very simple. And This is what we're all about, to make our professionals work and to have it very simple way, to let them very simple way to manage their work schedule and their work opportunity.
I like that. Make it simple, because in the world of everybody wanting every kind of widget and every kind of thing and do this, and vendors come to me and say, yeah, it'll do 400 things, and I'm like, you know what, I need it to do 3.
Yep.
I don't just care.
Exactly.
I need it to do 3, like, really good.
And as just mentioned earlier, that used to be how the problem used to be solved is the way that people in Facebook were posting, people were used to cold call, and we just used to have a phone number list whom they call, oh, can you work on Friday or can you not, like, and so on. And right now they can reach about 600 and hundreds of professionals in a 25 miles radius list, with just a few clicks of button. And the people are going to reach out, people are going to react for that, depending on their skills, and going to be able to pick up the job and get the job, get the money they needed, and fill the dental office need.
So I'm still just trying to understand how the whole thing functions. So hear me out. I want to ask, is this how it works? So I'm assuming there's an app or something, and then there are people that sign up for it to say, hey, I'm available. And then there are people on the other side that sign up for it to say, hey, I need help. Is that how it works? So you have these two sides?
That's very similar. Yeah, that sounds like right. So that on the dentist side and the demand side dental office, someone from dental office staff is going to be awesome. They need. So I need someone on Friday coming from 8 to 5. On the professional side, we have an app and the person just exploring their feed page, we call it Offer Discovery, and they apply for them whenever they feel comfortable. That Offer Discovery feed looks like a Facebook feed page. So you're just scrolling from the day to a day and just looking for whichever opportunity looks interesting to you. So do you want to add something, John?
Yeah, and I think it's actually like you hit on something that makes it super unique here from like places I've worked at before too, is like it's a two-sided marketplace. So I think it adds a lot of challenge to what we build of absolutely. Like you're always like you can't ever skew the marketplace, right? In one way or another. It's always this constant balancing act of like, oh, we want to improve this for the professional side, but like what's the downstream implication on the office side and how do we weigh that out here? So it's this kind of like constant seesaw that we find ourselves in, like everything we build. It's not just one user persona or customer segment. Like every single thing impacts both sides of the market, which each side of the market has different customer segments on it too. So it's this constant balance. And I think like Demetrio said it really well, it's like kind of beauty and simplicity of like, there's so much going on under the hood that we look at to find the right match for the right job or cater up that right shift based on your wants and needs and what you like to do. But we've made the interface as simple and intuitive and friendly for them as possible. Like we take care of all the hard lifting on our side. You just kind of make your account, give us some information based on what side you're on, and we'll find you that perfect match or matches on the other side of the marketplace under the hood and just queued up to you in a really friendly, easy way.
I love it.
That sounds like the Uber of dental workers.
Exactly. This yeah, you is can our say place. That. Like we are Uber of dental stuff.
Aha!
I love it.
I get it. Right? I totally am getting it, man.
I see the light bulb above the head going on. Right?
You took the words out of my mouth, Joe. I was going to say the same thing.
That's awesome. Well, cool.
So, yeah, so speaking of like the team and what it looks like, so what does that look like? I mean, how many people are on the dev side? What's the company like? I mean, sure. help me unpack that a little bit more.
Yeah, definitely. So we have three cross-functional teams. So we have three teams, and they are structured in very similar ways. So each of them about 7-8 people. So they're all of them are taking care of the other product, and they work in the same product with same code base, but just different aspects of the product. So each of the team consists of about engineer manager and product manager.
Okay.
And we also have a designer, a QA engineer, and 3 to 4 software engineers, which is us, IC, individual contributors position.
Okay.
And those teams work quite individually, autonomously, but just focus on the different side of the model marketplace and the different side of the business, what we want to do then. So, and yeah, they work on the same product altogether.
Awesome.
So we have overall about 25 people.
I love it. So, Demetrio, I'm going to ask you to dive and I don't need you to tell me secrets, but tell me a little bit more about the tech stack and what that involves. Help me understand, like for the listeners out there, what sort of tech stack do you guys have, and then what sort of skill set do you guys look for in candidates?
Oh, definitely, with pleasure. So you're talking about tech stack and the skill set, right? For the candidates.
Yep.
Yes. So we originally got started and built our product was a MVP version on Node.js, and this is a monolithic application. So it's but a couple of years ago we faced some scaling issue and we moved to Go. So we currently building the microservices Go application.
Okay.
So we have multiple microservices written in Go, but we still kind of in support and in our old Node.js Node application, which is about to go to the sunset. We hope it's going to happen this year. So, and our technology is pretty standardized. So on the database, we have Postgres for each of our microservices, and is everything hosted in the Kubernetes cluster in AWS. On the front side, we use React Native. So all of our web applications are built with React.js and mobile app for both platform iOS, Android, and our React Native mobile application.
Sweet. That's interesting. So having tied into that, so help me understand, like, what do you guys look for in candidates? So, like, I mean, obviously we know that you guys are hiring, but what sort of things do you look for in a candidate, and what makes a good candidate stand out to you guys?
I'll let Demetrio go first.
yeah, for sure. So I'm going to be talking from the engineer perspective.
Absolutely.
From the management perspective. Yeah, so what I think, like, what is for me is the most important, what's for the company is you got to be a craft master. You got to love your craft. What I think this is, Like, I think the people are doing the best when they're doing what they love. And we all here are doing what we love every day. And this is what we expect from the people. So probably you're not going to be the hardest. Probably you might know the best of your heart from Go. You might know the best of your heart from React. But as long as you love the backend development, as long as you are just fun of building web application, you're going to be definitely a good fit for our team. And I can tell it. I can tell for all of the positions about that. So what we're looking is a mastering your craft and loving what you do.
With that said, can we ask why would somebody want to work there? Do you think why?
Ooh,
What kind of culture are you creating? Why would somebody want to work at GoTo?
Yeah, definitely. So I think that good engineers is a problem solver. And a person who loves solving problems and who loves solving challenges is going to love here, because this is a culture we foster, this is a culture we build. So the way of how we solve the problem, how the way we develop our technology, is a very strong emphasis on solving the problem. So I'm an engineer myself, I've been doing coding for 10 years, but the most fun part of it is still problem solving. So coding is a mechanical part.
Right.
So if you know how to do that, you will do that, right? So it's just a question of exactly how to do that. And so we built a strong culture of this, of an engineer side of sitting down and figure out what is the easiest way, what is the best way to solve that particular problem that that we currently face in it. And it might be different set of problems, right? This might be about the how fast our system operates, or about some specific product challenge that we face, or maybe some scalability challenge that we started to face. And this is actually how we end up being using Go. So if you love solving challenges, if you love solving problems, that's going to be the right place.
Solving challenges and absolutely. Solving problems. I'm sure there's some folks out there that would dig that.
Absolutely.
What would you say the culture is at the company?
I would say we have very autonomous team that gonna solve the focus on solving their problem. And I say again, one of the most important stuff that, and one of the things that I'm proud of most is the way how our team sit down and figure out how to do that stuff alone. They definitely can ask for more help. They can definitely ask for some guidance. And we have some guidance. We have standardization of our tech stack. But they are free to solve the problem on their own way, in the way they think it's the best.
Okay.
Nice.
I love it.
I think a lot of developers would love that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So, Joe, it sounds like you do a little bit of hiring as well. So what exactly do you look for in a candidate, and what sort of skills do you look for in candidates?
So I think product and design are kind of two of those roles where I don't think you actually have to grow your career or start your career in product to be a good product manager. I think I've seen people come in from all over the place who can learn the skill set and excel in it. So for me, the two things I look for anyone is just hunger and passion. I think if anyone's hungry and they're passionate, that is a footstep in the right direction or ahead, where I can kind of help mold this person and train them what it means to be a product manager, what's it mean to be a designer, how's the thing to work through a problem or build a spec. So someone who really believes in what they're doing, wants to learn, just wants to kind of have an impact, right? That's just the starter facts for me. Outside that, I think the other two things that I really look for is someone who is obsessed with customers. I think a lot of product design teams and even some companies, right, they end up building what they think the customer wants. I just don't think that's the right approach. You have to know what the customer wants and build that, right?
Agreed.
You're not the customer, they're the customer. Understand them, know them better than they know themselves, so that you
agreed.
Know things they want that they don't know they want yet. So being able to get that level of understanding of being in their shoes, sitting side by side them, I have my PMs go to dental office all the time and just sit there and just watch, right? Do on-site visits, or just what you learn from doing that is so immensely different than what you learn from just having brainstorming sessions. So making that connection. And the last one is just data driven, right? I think it's really easy to put a lot of feeling behind prioritization and what to build and what's next, using as much data as possible to influence those decisions and kind of remove that personal bias. For every product designer has their passion product. This is going to fundamentally change the business and it's
right.
going to take us to the next level. if the numbers don't support it, like that might not be the next thing to build. You got to kind of go where the data, the usage data, the financials are telling you to go. So I think those are kind of the four big buckets I'll look for when just kind of building out my organization.
Sweet.
So what is the interview process like? What does that look like, interview process?
For mine, it's pretty simple. I like to think like interview processes shouldn't be long, should be extensive. Like it's quick, right? So it's initial quick phone screen. Then for the PMs, I have them do a take home, like assignment. It's like a 1 hour assignment. Just like, hey, like show me how you think about decomposing an ambiguous problem into like just a raw set of requirements. Just to get like, how would you take a functional business problem, like break it down and try and communicate this in a short time frame to engineering counterparts, design components, so like to design it and then actually build it. And after that, I really like this here. We kind of do a super day for the final interview. That's it. So we have the candidates come on site. They'll meet with me, they'll meet with Dimitro, they'll meet with the co-founders, meet with some folks on the team for, I think it's like a 3 hour session. And then after that, you're done. So we try and keep it pretty quick and efficient here.
I like it.
I love it how it's so different. Yeah.
Totally.
Companies have different ways of doing interviews, and it's absolutely funny to hear it, and I love it. I think, you know, you're gonna know if they're the right fit when they get in there and they start doing the work, truthfully, right? No matter how good the interviews are.
Absolutely.
Yeah, resumes are resumes.
Yeah, exactly. Yep,
that's true.
So how do you from your side, Dimitro, how do you test for, like, do you test for like to base their skill set off of their codes or whatnot? I mean, do you do anything like that on your side?
We definitely do. So as I said, like we testing how much people love what they're doing and what we ask. We're trying to dive deeper into their skills, their opinion, and the way how they see the structure, how the way that they see the builds the project. So to do that, we ask our candidate to prepare a little small home assignment that usually takes from 1 to 2 hours to how much you're willing to spend on that project. And then on the day of the interview and process, we usually dive in deeper and just start to concrete conversation about like, oh, why you make specific this approach? What is the trade-off? How you can implement that? And this is the most fun part, like to see them. And when this is first the time where you can see the people allowing what they do and they're willing to explain why and they're looking for the different approaches. And this is exactly the part of the interview that shows to us and shows for the candidate, like with whom you're going to be working with, and for both of us part, like to understand what is the values in the building of the structure. And I cannot tell you how much fun we have of this interviews, because each interview is very unique, and different people have very different understanding, and there's no wrong ways. It's always a new story.
You know, I think you hit it right on the head. Like, I mean, there is no wrong ways. I mean, obviously with code, yes, there's right and wrong, but you can still get to the problem a different way. It's just how is somebody getting to that point? And I love the fact that you're willing to understand that and be able to put people based off of their skill sets or what they're passionate about to how they get there and go and dive deep into that. That's really cool.
Yeah. And like, we are not willing to ask for our candidate, whatever we are not willing to do. So one day, 1 week, it's just like, oh, I want to do, like, I'm doing the home assignment by myself. I'm like, oh gosh, it was a long weekend. You know, it was about 3 days and I spent 3 days on the home assignment for the company where I work on. It was one of the wonderful weekends I ever had. It was so much fun.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you want your work to be fun. So yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah. So we have a last few questions. One of the questions, and I think I'd like both of you to kind of answer what your thought process is. What do you think your technology is? How is it going to change in the future? What does the future look like for what's going on with GoTo?
Yeah, I can take it. You want to begin?
Yeah, I can take it. Well, I think like, even right now, so we are just purely focused on solving the staffing problem that's facing the dental industry, right? So I think we're honing that craft. We're best in the business of that craft. But if I think about it, there's so many of the directions we can go and so many of the problems we can solve, right? There's ample other problems solving our current clients in dental right now that I think we haven't even begun to scratch the surface of, that are we're looking at them and seeing like, wow, this is pretty complementary, pretty adjacent. Like we can pursue a technology solution for that. Or even conversely, dental's not the only industry that has staffing shortages, right? Like we think about like pharmacy, veterinary, like we've built this platform that is so good at what it does that if we could go kind of revamp how we credential, understanding the skills, the depth we've built in dental over time, like we could lift this and apply it in other industries too to help alleviate that staffing problem that's really facing all these occupational licensed healthcare verticals. So I think it's really interesting of like, I feel like we've done and accomplished so much, but I really feel like our journey's just starting still.
Oh,
like
totally.
There's so much more for us to do and solve.
Yeah, that's exciting, man.
Oh, absolutely. Wow.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Like, and from a technology perspective, we start to face some of the scalability problem that you do not experience when you have 100 users. That you start experiencing when you have 1,000 and a couple thousand, couple hundred thousand, and so on. So one, the challenges where our technology is going right now, we're trying to accommodate our technical stack and all the solution for, to support that scale and to support operation scale. So it touches different side, and like the system that you used to build for the X amount of users will not work for the 10X and would not sure work for the 100X of all of the people. So you got to apply a different way of thinking and different way of the, and different approaches to make that work.
Nice. Awesome. I like it.
Yeah.
So do you want the last one, Bobby, or do you want me?
You know, I
know this
question.
Is your favorite question.
I want to circle back on culture. I forgot what are
please.
The important
yes,
things.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, let's mention it. So like think about like our culture, what makes us different. I can't believe you didn't think of this, Dimitro, the core values. I feel like we got to go for the core values.
Ooh, core values.
Yeah. Yeah. So not even for just our team, but all go to since it's like inception and founding has had the same five core values and we try and live by it every day. We hire by it. We'll fire by it if you don't abide by it right at the end of the day. But like we take it very seriously. And I think it's one of the things that makes this such a special place to work. The fact that we've been able to attract such great talent, grow the team so quickly, so fastly. And I think I'm really proud of like our core values, like show not just internally, but like in the industry too. Right. I think people kind of see us as this, but, I don't know what's the right. Maybe I'll list the five and mean like we'll just go one by one. Me and Dimitri will want to give our perspective on like, what that core value means.
Love it,
It's and I just want to tell this very very serious thing. Like we do the growth review by the core values and we of the stuff and we do the hiring and firing. So like when you hire, you fill HR form and you put it like plus minus on the core values. Is this plus or is this minus? Is this way how we make decision about do we need to hire people or do we need to let the people go depending on the corresponding to our core values. So our number one core values is whichever it takes. Like that's like we have a five of them, but whatever it takes is probably the one of the most important one. So it's we are willing to do whatever it takes to make the for mission of the company true.
So is that like number one core value is do what it takes?
Do what it takes. Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure. Whatever it takes. So do you want to take the second one?
Yeah, so I think second one is true believer, which is just be a true believer in yourself, the company, the role you're playing, and kind of what you're doing. And I think, like, for me, this is one that, like I said, I made the jump from, like, the finance venture capital world to here. And, like, I think, like, seeing the impact we have, like, not a lot of startups, I'd say, have, like, goodwill. That's not the right thing to say. A lot of, like, startups are just, like, kind of B2B SaaS, right? Like, you're selling a product to make a company's life easier, like, but like this gets me choked up when I talk about it. I'm gonna try and control it now. But like we with what we're doing, because we've empowered this like flexible work, right? And we provide work opportunities that weren't there before, like we get so many inbound like kind of calls and customer feedback of like, because of you, like I could take my kids to Disney World or I paid off my car loan, I paid off my student debt. So being able to like solve a very big problem in this industry, but also is having such a positive impact on the dental industry as a whole. Is like such an easy mission to like rally behind and run through a wall for, because like every day you're just overwhelmed by this like outpouring of impact you're having on this broader community. So I think true believer in that, the mission, the company's vision, right? And what we're doing here in the world, core value number two.
Wow, I love it. Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. The number three core value is probably my favorite one. It's your ship. And by that mean it means like everyone, every member of the team have to act as they are captain of their ship. So that's your personal business and you have to make the best decision whichever you think. And even that's wrong decision. If it's going to end up with wrong decision, the company going to lose $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, I'd be more than willing to do that. That is the price we're willing to pay for learning by our mistakes and learning whatever is true. You know, as long as we're not going to make the same mistake twice, at some moment of time, we're just going to run out of mistakes and we can be perfect. So this is our approach. We are willing to people to act upon their best knowledge and to make mistakes, even if sometimes it's going to happen.
Yeah.
We believe other people feel more than...
Well, awesome. And I think when you have something like that as part of your core values, like, it's basically empowering your employees to be able to say, like, hey, look, I understand, I get it. So, I mean, so far, I mean, this list is fantastic. I can't wait for the other two.
Yeah, and I love that one because I think it ties with what Dimitri said about the team is, like, we put a lot of autonomy and trust in our teams. Like, it's very much, like, their vision, their domain, like their story to chart. We're here to help kind of direct, keep in the bounds and give the feedback, keep the higher level picture together. But we do, it's a lot of trust in everyone in this organization to drive the leadership. Fourth one is hard work doesn't have to be serious. So I think this one's important because it's really easy to work really hard and not have fun. But like it's fun, right? Like We're kind of quirky and goofy sometimes, but we'll all put the work in, right? We believe in the mission. We'll put in the hours, but we have fun. We'll do little happy hours, or like actually the one we're doing right now. It's kind of funny. Is the team started doing this, like, have you guys heard of like the geo guessing, where you kind of like you go on this website and it picks a random point on Google Maps and it'll give you like the 360 view, and you have like a timer to figure out where in the world you are.
Huh? No, I haven't heard that. That's kind of cool though.
It's but like the teams competitions of like who has the, like, after five guesses, like who has the average lowest distance across their five guesses, and it's like it's just like kind of stuff like that where it's like after a long hard week, a big release, just like kind of doing things like that, just being like, you know, it's all right.
Absolutely. I love that. That's a great one.
Well, and just I think it ties into like the team camaraderie and team building as well. So I mean, I love it.
Just that, he's the best at it. He's really good at it. He's like almost too good at it.
I just spend way too much time in Google Maps. I have no hobbies.
Memorizing the world.
Exactly. Yeah, this is what I'm doing. But like to add on that, like three of our team have their unique nicknames, and we name them after specific animals, and that can be going like very. Sometimes it's very serious. So we have a team of sharks, we have a team of ninja turtle, and we have a team of Navy SEALs. So when they own mascots, they have own greeting. They have all of the animals, little animals across the office where they spread it out. Their office has like beware of shark, like a different type of science of you understand where you are and which side of the office you are in the middle of when you walk in.
Yeah, that's fun.
That is fun.
That sounds like a fun place to work.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're trying to make that. Yeah. And the last core value is a little bit better than you found, and like it touches everything. It touches starting from the common area, like starting from the kitchen. If you get into the kitchen, you see a lot messed up in the sink, like clean up the sink, like make it a little bit better than you found, and like touches the everything, like even when you're in the writing the code and you see, oh, there is a typo in the variable name, a little bit better, like fix the typo, like you see the failing test or you see the fluffy test. Fix the test, make sure it's going to be better after you, so the next person who's going to be running this test is going to be good, and like the next time the CI is going to be running, it's going to be good and be ready. So a little bit better than you found.
I love it.
That's the last core value.
Awesome.
Yeah, no, I mean that's great. I mean, I think those core values, like I mentioned earlier, is you're really hitting on everything to make things better, not only better, but to help people thrive to be their best as well. And not only when they're their best, you see it translate into the work they do either for you guys or outside of you guys with a good work life balance.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, we have one last question for you. So the last question is, this has nothing to do with your company, actually. This is just your guys' insight. What do you think about the future of technology in general? Is there anything that you see the future of that is exciting to you or anything like that? Just technology in the future. What are you thinking?
Oh, I love that question. So do you mind if I take it?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. So I think you hear enough about the AI development and the all of the impact that deep learning algorithms make in this world. So it's not a surprise. But what I think people don't talk enough about it is the technology that's going to support that. And by that, I mean basically two ways. It's the growth of computational power and growth of electrical power. So I think the way of how, like, AI is going to stick to us, and that's going to be definitely in our future in the 10 and 15 years. But the infrastructures that we still don't have enough in place to support that growth and to make that happen. And like that goes, you know, like very simple way. And the request you're going to send to ChatGPT is going to consume 10x more electricity than the request you're going to send to Google. And if you're going to support that growth, if you're going to enable the technology to grow, we got to make sure we have enough electricity to power that up, and not only to support, and not only to train the models, but actually to support them running. And that, like, the amount of energy the stable diffusion is gonna consume to generate one picture is gonna be enough to charge up your iPhone battery to 100%. That's this insane amount of electricity if you're talking about the picture generation couple times a day, right? So, and to enable that, that must be some significant development in terms of generation, transportation, and storage of that, all of the electricity. And like, still today, the number one source of energy in the United States is natural gas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and we put in so much effort into developing the electrical vehicles and electrical transportation, but we're charging those vehicles with the electricity produced by plant that run on natural gas. That's yep. That's definitely not econ. That's definitely not green enough. And like, I'm looking forward for the electrical fusion. Like, to, and I still think it seems we are still decade from when it's going to be commercialized. But what I think that we don't put enough efforts and enough work is into the developing of the nuclear technologies. I know there's a lot of
stigma.
It's a big stake, and like I think there's something to that into the development generation electricity from nuclear technology and from mini reactors, and that also goes into the transportation, into the battery technology. Because our batteries it's nothing new has been made in the past 50 years. Like you cannot make a plane that flies on the batteries, right? So it's having the plane that flies on the electricity, that would be amazing to see. Mm. I think that this is something gonna enable of the humanity to the next drone, to the next jump. And the same talking about the computational power. If you will try to run the next of the large language models, term computers, unless you have that top-notch laptop with 64 gigabytes of memory, most likely will not be able to. Like, we even not talking about putting that scale of technology into the iPhones or into the next generation of phones. We are quite far away from doing that, from them making it available for everybody for the general use. We still need quite sophisticated machines to be able to run those AI algorithms, those AI models. So I think those two things are going to be enabled through AI even more.
So you sound like you may be optimistic about the technology. The AI is not going to take us over and kill us all?
No, I did not say it. Like, AI in the way how it produced today, like, I'm skeptical about that. So maybe AGI feel, but I don't know. We need to ask Sam Altman what he thinks. How far right. are you?
There you go.
Exactly.
Joe, any last words, Joe?
No, I don't think my answer would hold a candle to that, to be honest.
I mean, that is quite a brainful to kind of try to compute and get through. But yeah,
I think we're all excited about the future.
Oh, absolutely.
It's exciting, and we're excited for GoTo. I can see you guys have got something here, and you're really creating something very, very cool. So listeners out there, go check it out. Is there where can they check out GoTo? How can people find out about it?
Yeah, just our website is just joingoto.com. And then GoTo is spelled GOTU. It's kind of a homage to our Miami roots.
Okay. I like it.
Well, cool. Thanks for being on the show, guys. Yeah. Brad, any last words?
No, I mean, I think we covered everything. Yeah. I mean, it's been a great episode. I'm excited to learn and see where these guys go and what they do with it.
All right, check them out. Go to. All right, people, you have.
have been listening to Jobs in Tech. We'll see.